Praise God. We are excited to be here this morning. I brought up my beautiful wife, Celeste. She's the daughter of this house. Amen. We met here, right? We were saved here. And then we even got married here in town. And we're just blessed to be here this morning. We have our beautiful daughter, Winter, our oldest. She's in the kids ministry somewhere eating candy. So I just want my wife, we've been having a great weekend. Just, man, God's been pouring into us. And I was just like, can you share? She's always telling me, she's like, when's my moment? And then I'm like, it's today. And she's like, I don't want to do it. So even right there, she was like, I don't know if I can do it. I'm like, you can do it. So just to share what God's been doing in our lives, in the ministry, I want you to just open up your heart.
Good morning. It's so nice to see you all. So we got in on Friday, and we came to that event that they had for the youth, and it was just so awesome to see kids that when I was in the youth, they were like in the classes, and now they're like taller than me. So that was really cool, and I was talking to Pastor Corey about it, like, wow, like, the kids, they just grow up so fast, like, and every time I come, I don't know why, but I just expect everyone to look the same. So I come, and, like, I see everybody, and I'm like, why do you guys not look the same? Like, it's just, it's so interesting. But anyways, I wanted to come up here, and I just wanted to share some of the testimonies and the amazing things that God has been doing in our life, in our ministry, in our home, and, as I was in prayer, thinking of the stories that I was going to tell, I felt like I heard God tell me, you know, I was only able to do that, those things and work in your life in that way because of your faithfulness. And as he told me that, I was like, what do you mean, Lord? And he was telling me that every single step of the way, you and Zach, you guys have always said yes. And I've always been able to work with your yes. So I wanted to come up here, and instead of telling testimonies and telling you guys what God has been doing in our lives, I want to share with you guys just a word of encouragement to be faithful, to be faithful to God, to be faithful to your leaders, to be faithful to the pastor of this house. Yeah, come on, come on, to be faithful to each other, to be faithful to each other. Like, we are brothers and sisters. In the Bible, it talks about being faithful to each other. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to encourage you guys. And also, God gave me the verse in Matthew where he's talking about the servants. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. So I just wanted to speak that over you guys. I know if you're here today, it's because you've been faithful. So I just want to encourage you to stay faithful.
Amen. Thank you, love. I thank God for my wife. She's so faithful. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. Traveling this month, I've been gone almost every weekend, and she stays back and takes care of the girls. So, man, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for this house. Bishop Steve, thank you so much for this opportunity this morning. Our leadership, amen. Been a little transition, right? Some transition happening, amen. Everybody say transition. All right. And so I'm excited for this morning because I got a word. Amen. The first service, I kind of teached it. Second service, I'm going to preach it. And unleash it. I was going to keep rapping, but I'll leave it there. And also, my grandmother's here. My beautiful grandmother, Lillian. All I remember is growing up a faithful grandma and a faithful grandpa to the Lord. That's all I remember. I don't remember anything else but them teaching us the ways of the Lord. Every time I was there, which was a lot because my parents were always throwing me off. We were there and we would eat dinner, and it was faithful. After dinner, always a devotion. After we ate, we always had to read a devotion and learn about the Lord. And I'm thankful for those times, Grandma. I love you. So let's open up in a word of prayer. Before we get into this, Father God, I thank you. I give you all the glory for today. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you, Jesus. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We all say, somebody say, take the land. Somebody say, take the land. Say, forget about the storm. Take the land. Forget about COVID. Take the land. Because God has a plan, amen. For every storm we go through, God has a plan. God has a reason. God has a destiny. God has an island for us to get to. But sometimes what we do, it's natural to us to get stuck in the storm. Hello? It's natural for us to get stuck in what we lost in the storm. It's natural for us to get stuck in who we lost in the storm. And we have to learn to move forward and press toward the high calling of Christ. It's time to take the land. I have a pastor friend, he was in the Navy, and he was talking about sea legs and land legs. And when you're in a storm on sea, you get sea legs because you're trying to rock back and forth with the boat without getting sick. You're trying to keep your balance. So then when you go back on land, you got to get your land legs back. You ever been there where you're there and you're like rocking back and forth, but you're on land now? And sometimes this is what the enemy does to us. God is bringing us to a place where it's a new season. We're called to take the land. We're called to get our balance back. We're called to move forward. We're called to win souls. We're called to win the city. We're called to build the church. We're called to move forward in our marriage with God. We're called to move forward in our children with God. And we are still rocking like we're in the storm. How many know a fighter can't fight unless he's balanced, right? Somebody say, take the land. I'm going to be reading out of Acts chapter 27, verse 13. And the Apostle Paul finds himself in a shipwreck. Come on, somebody. And many of us might have found ourselves in this place in this past season. But I got news for you today. Sacrifice, sever, and swim. Sacrifice, sever, and swim. I'm going to talk about that today. Acts chapter 27. Paul warned them, don't set sail. It's crazy time to sail right now. He's being brought to Rome because he's a prisoner. How many know he's a prisoner, but he's the most free man on the boat? Come on, somebody. And he warns them not to set sail. And it says, when the south wind blew softly, they didn't listen to him. Supposing that they had obtained their desire, a wind blew softly, and they thought, this is our moment. They thought everything's going right. Disobeyed the voice of the Apostle Paul. Come on, somebody. Putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after, come on, it's not long after the devil brings a little breeze that makes it seem like everything's okay. Come on. In a way, they let their guard down when they felt that breeze that came by. Come on, somebody. In a way, they let their guard down, and it says, not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. The storm had a name. The storm had a name. Have you ever been through a storm so heavy you named it? Come on, somebody. I said in the first service, me and Pastor Eric got shipwrecked in Fredonia. Come on. It was cold out there, man. That type of cold, man, is different level. It's not California cold. You walk outside and that cold's in your bones. It's like inside you. And the storm had a name. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. We let the ship drive in the storm. Couldn't fight the wind. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day, they lightened the ship. They lightened the ship. How many know we've walked through a season in this past year where the ship has been lightened? Come on, somebody. There's been some things that have fallen off. There's been some people that have fallen off. But I got news for you today. Don't get caught up on what was lost. Don't get caught up on who was lost. Understand one thing. When the ship is lightened, there is benefits to the ship being lightened. Can I tell you what the benefits are? It was common when the team would experience a storm, the sailors would begin to throw off everything but the passengers. Come on, somebody, don't throw off the passengers. If you're walking through the storm, throw off everything but your kids, all right? They threw off everything, the cargo. They threw off the spare lines. Why? Because it makes the ship more buoyant to handle the storm. Can I talk to anybody that wants to be a buoyant Christian? Can I talk to anybody that wants to be a buoyant believer? It actually, what it means is it makes the ship more resilient. Because it's lighter that when the winds and waves hit it, because it's lighter, it's able to float back to the top and not be drowned by the storm. Come on, somebody. And in this season, we walk through a time where there has been some things that have been thrown off the ship. We had to lighten the ship. But it's made us more resilient. Why? Because I'd rather worship with 10 people that are worshiping in spirit and in truth than 1,000 people that aren't really there for God. Come on, somebody. I want to go to war with some buoyant Christians. I want to go to war. It literally means bouncy. It makes the ship more bouncy. You know how to bounce with the storm. Come on. Bounce with me. Bounce with me. Rock with me. Rock with me. You need to learn how to bounce in the storm. Bounce back when the enemy hits you. But the only way we can become like that is when we throw off the weight that so easily entangles us. We throw off that compromise that so easily. That's why you get caught up in the storm and you stay stuck in the storm, because your ship's not light enough. You're weighed down by all this compromise. You're weighed down by all these distractions. Hello. You're weighed down by all this stuff. And you can't rise back to the top of the storm. You can't stay afloat. Come on, somebody. Somebody say sacrifice. They had to sacrifice to lighten the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Have you ever been there? All hope that my family would be saved is finally given up. I've been through too many storms. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, that darkness hit. But long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said this. Somebody say a word in the wind. Say a word in the wind. You have to have a word in the wind. This is what will get you through the storm, is a word in the storm. It has to be in you. It has to be inside of you that when the winds and waves come, you got a word like Apostle Paul in the wind. Apostle Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you." He brings a word. He's got a word in the wind. He's got a word in the storm. But only of the ship, for there stood me by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. In the storm, he's not talking about the winds, the waves. He's not talking about what was lost in the storm. He's talking about who he belongs to. He's not talking about anything else, but this is who I belong to. And because I belong to God, we're going to make it through here. Come on, somebody. Because this is sonship. There's a different level. This is sonship. This is sons and daughters of God. Because of who I belong to and whom I serve, do not be afraid. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart. Everybody say, take heart. For I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground a certain island. We're gonna wash up somewhere. And when we wash up somewhere, we got a job to do. We're going to wash up somewhere through this storm. My marriage is going to wash up somewhere. We're going to find our balance back. We're going to get back on our feet. And when we do, we got a mission. This is where I believe we are. This is where I believe we are. We've been through a lot this past year, but let me tell you something. You're washing up somewhere on land, and we have to learn to take the land now and not get caught up in the storm. Everybody say sever. We said sacrifice to get through the storm. The ship was lightened. Come on, somebody, because how many know there were some people that were just waiting to abandon ship anyway already? Can I be real? Bishop gave me permission, so I already got the head of the household to give me permission. So there were some people that were already going to abandon ship, and COVID was the excuse. There were some people that were already in compromise before COVID, but they found the perfect opportunity to say, "I'm not going to church. I'm just going to stay back and relax." That's why they're not back. The ban's been lifted, and they're not back. A lot of times the ship needs to be lightened because compromise needs to go. Remnant needs to rise up. About midnight, the 14th night of a storm, 2 weeks of the storm, darkness, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out four anchors from the back of the ship, and then the sailors tried to what? The sailors tried to what? There were these sailors that were trying to abandon the ship. Can I preach the word this morning? This is food right here. The sailors were the very ones that are called to lead the boat. The very ones that were supposed to rise up in a storm. The very fathers and mothers that are supposed to rise up in the middle of a generation that's going down. The ones that were supposed to lead wanted to abandon the ship. And we found leaders in this time. We found leaders in this season. They've abandoned ship. They've abandoned flocks. This is something the enemy's doing when the storms and the winds and waves, a lot of times because we don't got a word in the wind like Paul had, that abandoned the ship starts to come over them. And it says, they lowered the lifeboat as though they were putting out anchors from the ship. They were acting like they were putting out anchors to stay firm and founded, but really they were lowering the lifeboat. They were lowering the lifeboat. Come on, somebody. And it says, but Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. Paul caught them. Paul caught them in the middle of trying to abandon the ship. And so the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. Somebody say sever. Sever the plan B, man of God. Sever the plan B, woman of God. That thing in the back of your mind that says, man, if this doesn't work out the way that I want it to work out, then I'm done. If the seas get a little too stormy and the devil hits me a little too hard, then I'm done. If this doesn't work out, then I'm gonna have a lifeboat that's ready to just abandon the ship. And Paul catches them, and Paul says, he says, cut the lifeboat. The soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. And if we're going to make it through the storm, if we're going to make it and go take the land, we have to sever. We have to sever the compromise. We have to burn the bridges. Delete the old phone number. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Delete the old phone number. Put away the old mindsets, the patterns in your mind. Those things that so easily entangle us. That's how you're going to make it through the storm. Because there's going to be times where you're going to want to jump ship. There'll be times where you're going to want to jump ship. There was a minister that fell recently into sin, and I heard they had a conversation and said, I had to make a choice whether I wanted to live a life of obligation or freedom. Oh, this is obligation? This is my labor of love. It's not an obligation to me. I don't come up here because I have to do this. I come up here because I get to do this. It's because he brought me from a mighty long way. He saved me. He restored me. It brings me joy to lift up my voice. Somewhere along the line, it became work to you. And now you see sin as freedom? That's not freedom. That's demonic thinking. Sin is not freedom. I just want to do whatever I want and be free. There's freedom in living by the word of God. Because there's true joy. Come on, somebody. They cut the ropes. Somebody say sever. And as day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food. You've eaten nothing. The storm got so heavy, you lost your appetite. The storm got so mighty, you got stressed out. You forgot to eat. You lost your hunger. And I believe that this is so prophetic. This ain't pathetic. This is prophetic. Come on, somebody. This ain't a testimony. This is a testimony. I ain't prophesying. I'm prophesying. Some of y'all prophesying. Wake it up. Come on, somebody. Don't make me rap y'all to life. Come on. Man, first service was a little bit more lit. Come on, somebody. Their hunger had been diminished in the midst of a storm. And that's what the devil does. He diminishes our hunger for God's presence in a pandemic. He uses devices. Vices. And our hunger is no longer for the things of God. Our hunger's for entertainment. Our hunger's no longer for the presence of... I don't know about you, but man, in this past season, God had to lighten the ship in my life from vices. Entertainment. Even sports. I'm not even as into sports as I used to be because God's been bringing me to this place. There's nothing bad about it, but he's been bringing me to this place where he's lightening the ship. And he's giving me my hunger back. I'm more hungry for God's presence right now than I've ever been. But sometimes we stuff that, thing. We stuff that thing with vices. TikTok. Come on, somebody. Any TikTokers? You're in the lobby doing your dance. Right? I've been to youth conferences all around the world recently, and I don't know what's up. I walk in, everybody's dancing in the lobby. TikTok, TikTok. I told the first service because the devil's stealing all your TikToks. You scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you forget to reach a soul. You forget to reach a soul. You forget to reach a soul. I don't want to live my life wasting my time. Paul says in the book of Romans, he says, cease the day. Cease the moment. Cease the moment. This is your moment right here. Cease the moment. They sacrificed. They severed, and the last thing they did, they got their hunger back, right? They ate, because we need that. We need to get our hunger for the presence of God back. Last thing they did was they swim. They swam. They swimmed. When morning dawned, they didn't recognize the coastline, but they saw a bay with a beach and wondered if they could get to shore by running the ship aground. So they cut off the anchors and left them in the sea. Then they lowered the rudders, raised the foresail. They're making all these adjustments and headed towards shore. Everybody say swim to shore. Come on, say swim to shore. There's a plan after the storm. There's somewhere that you and I have to get to. There's a city here that needs to be reached by you and I. There's a land that we have to take. There's a land that we have to win. But many of us, we're still caught up. We're still caught up. We can't move forward. We can't move past it. The bow of the ship stuck fast while the stern was repeatedly smashed by the force of the waves and began to break apart. If we could get the worship team up. This is the last part. The soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners to make sure they didn't swim and escape. But the commanding officer wanted to spare who? Are we reading? Wanted to spare Paul. Somebody say favor. Let me say favor. They all might have died if Paul wasn't there. Come on, somebody. Favor ain't fair. So he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim. He ordered all who can swim. This morning I'm ordering all who can swim. Anybody that's got any life left in you after this pandemic. Anybody that's got any praise left in you after this situation. Anybody that's got any life. All who could swim this morning. All of you that still have something in you that says, man, I got a destiny. I got to help build my church. God's got a plan for my life. There's a ministry inside of me that I got to bring out. Do you know there's a ministry inside of each and every one of you? Paul writes to Timothy in the book of Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy, he says, fulfill your ministry, and the word literally means to bring to full measure the ministry in you. It means to bring to full measure. It means to pour everything out at the altar of Jesus Christ. Give him every ounce of you. But the commanding officer wanted to spare Paul, so he didn't let them carry out their plan. Then he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land. Swim for land. It didn't say the storm had stopped either. Swimming in a storm. Swimming when the current's trying to pull you out. Swimming when the devil's trying to lure you away. And all these things. Swimming and saying, man, I got to get to Malta. That's the place that they were going to. Everybody say Malta. God has a plan for Malta. God has a plan for Manteca. God has a plan for your family. You got to get to Malta. God has a plan for your children. You got to get to Malta. God has a plan for your marriage, and it's right there on shore. But you got to swim against that current, baby. You got to swim against that current that's trying to stop you. One track mind. I got to get to Malta. All who could swim made for land. The others held on to planks or debris from the broken ship. So everyone escaped safely to shore, holding on to the ship. And they're there. And Malta's this place that's small. If you look at it on the map, it's kind of crazy. It's this small little island. Everything else looks super big on the map, and there's this small little island, 17 miles long. But God had a plan for Malta. And this is a place that if you read the commentaries, they say this small little island, if it wasn't for this shipwreck, this small little island would have never heard the gospel. Would have otherwise never heard the gospel. But the Apostle Paul landed there. The Apostle Paul landed on Malta. And this place that was small that would have never heard the gospel, he lands, and all of a sudden revival starts to break out. Healing takes place in somebody's body. And then it says they started to bring sick people, and they started to bring them to him to heal them. And then it got so good, the church started rolling. It got so good, they upped their media. I'm just kidding. Just trying to make it, light. Trying to make it light here. Got so good that they started to love Paul. They started to, that when he was there for 3 months, and when they sent him off, they sent him with a bunch of gifts, and they sent him off with all the stuff they needed. The shipwreck took him to Malta, and instead of worrying, instead of, my mind would have been blown by the shipwreck, and then he lands, and the first night he lands, he gets bit by a viper. You guys got to read this. This is crazy. And instead of getting, I would be done with ministry. Right? Bishop's like, come on, son, let's go on a boat cruise. This is how it would have played out. Then we get to the land, and all of a sudden I'm bit by a snake. And then we throw in the towel. No, man. This is not ministry. This is hard. I almost died. And Paul lands on Malta and starts giving him the gospel. Paul lands on Malta and says, man, you know what? This shipwreck wasn't for nothing. There's all this people. There's all this land. All these lost souls that have never heard the gospel. Man, God has a plan for this place. That's why we're here. Now, he writes later in his life, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. See, you can preach it like that when you've been through three shipwrecks and you still kept plowing. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You can preach it different when you went through a shipwreck and you landed on Malta, and for 3 months straight you built a church instead of stressed about the storm.
Okay, hold on. You see how I instantly started doing that?
He can declare all things work together because as he looks back on his life, he says, I remember when I was shipwrecked. I remember when I almost died. And I remember when I landed on that little town. There was this little place. It's kind of remind me of Antigua, but God had a plan for this place. And something big erupted out of that city, out of that place, Malta. And Malta actually means honey. Some of you guys need to get to your promised land. Get to your promised land, man. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would get us to begin to get empowered to take the land, Lord. We need power to take the land. We need power to rise back up. Let's all stand to our feet right now. Say sacrifice, sever, swim. He built a church in that small place. Something was birthed out of that storm. If you want to get out of that, if you want to swim and get out of that storm that has you so caught up and fixed on what you lost, all the things that went wrong, and you want to start looking forward, pressing forward towards the high calling of Jesus, just come up here. Come up here to the altar. Feel free. The altars are open. Come up here. You say, you know what? I've been caught up. I've been caught up on the wrong things. I lost my hunger on the storm. I lost my appetite for the presence of God during the storm. And I need to get back to take the land. For some of you, take the land means take your marriage back for Jesus. How many of you take the land means, man, I need to get my children to the house of God again. Some of you take the land means, man, I need to get my hunger for the presence of God back again. Take the land. Our prayer team's going to pray for you. And we're going to pray this over you, that you would get right back into alignment with your assignment. So you can take the land. Let's sing it. And let's lift our hands if you're at this altar. Come on. When I call your name. emotion in this place. There's victory over anxiety in this place. Come on. God's breaking you through. Come on. There's healing in your marriage. Come on. Salvation for your children. Come on. Forgiveness. Come on. Demon has to flee. Every demon. here we go. The devil trembles when I call
your name.
The devil trembles
when I call your name.
The marriage healed when you call,
when I call your name.
Your children saved when you call,
when I call your name.
The devil trembles when we call,
when I call your name.
The church gets built when we call,
when I call your name.
The devil trembles when we call,
when I call your name.
Who needs restoration in your marriage right now? Lift your hands, you need restoration, healing in your marriage. Healing in your marriage. We're going to sing this over you, and I just believe God's doing surgery on marriages. You'll walk out of this place, same issues you walked in with won't be there. Depression breaks when I call,
when I call your
name. You didn't hear me? Depression breaks when we call,
when I call your name.
Depression broken when we call,
when I call your name.
The devil trembles when I call. Come on. Breakthrough when I call,
when I call your name.
The captives free when we call,
when I call your name.
The city saved when we call,
when I call your name.
Our children saved when we call,
when I call your name.
Our churches saved when we call,
when I call your name.
Our city's healed when we call. Come on, we got one more minute. We got one more minute. We got one more minute. Come on. Victory in this place. That's victory in this place.
Yes, Lord.
That's a war cry in this place. That's somebody saying, my family won't be the same after today. That's somebody saying, my marriage is being restored today. That's somebody saying, I'm getting my joy back today. That's somebody saying, I'm getting my peace back today. longer we wait right now, the stronger we get. The longer we learn to wait in the presence, the stronger we get. We're in a hurry a lot of times, thinking about what's next. In this season, we need to learn to sit. That's where your strength is at, man of God. That's where your strength is at, woman of God. Sounds like heaven, huh? How many are thankful for our team, man? Guys, ushered us right in. And this is what we need right now. It's for God's worshipers to release a sound in spirit and in truth. And that's what you guys are doing. Keep releasing the sound. Because when people walk in through those doors, before the preacher even comes up and ministers to them, you usher them into the throne room. God's already moving. God's already moving because of the worship. That's what we're going to do in heaven anyway. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. We give you all the glory, all the praise. We love you, God, and we pray that you would just protect the seed, God, the seeds that you planted in our hearts today. Continue to use us for your glory so we could take the land, so we could win souls. There's still work for us to do. There's still a harvest for us to gather. There's still work for us to do and a harvest for us to gather. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we say, amen and amen.
Come on, y'all receive that word this morning. I felt that in my spirit. Come on, family, you got to be aware of what God is doing. Don't just leave this place with goosebumps and a good feeling. Cling to that word. Claim it as yours because God is moving in this place. Man, God is good. Well, before you head out, I just want to say to our first-time guests, I want to invite you to meet us to my left, your right. We have a little something we want to give to you on your way out. And the rest of you, may your week be blessed. What does our bishop say? That your week will be blessed because you gave God the first day of the week. Amen. We love you all. See you at 12:30 for Spanish and Wednesday night. We love you all. God bless you guys.